Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text Number 23. Ekona vimshe vimshatime vrishnishu prapya janmani Rama Krishna viti bhuvo bhagavan aharadbaram. In the 19th and 20th incarnations, the Lord advented himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the family of Vrishni, the Yadu dynasty, and by so doing, he removed the burden of the world. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The specific mention of the word Bhagavan in this text indicates that Balaram and Krishna are original forms of the Lord. This will be further explained later. Lord Krishna is not an incarnation of the Purusha, as we learned from the beginning of this chapter. He is directly the original personality of Godhead, and Balaram is the first plenary manifestation of the Lord. From Baladev, the first phalanx of plenary expansions, Vasudev, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna expands. Lord Sri Krishna is Vasudev, and Baladev is Sankarsana. Aharat Bharam. He removed the burden of the world. This is the Lord's intention to remove the burden of the living entities, its parts and parcels. When you say the world, I mean all the living beings within the world. And Krishna is vitally interested in the lives of every living entity. He maintains them. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidatati kaman. He is maintaining every living entity. All of the living entities in the world also have an eternal relationship with the Lord. Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. In this Sri Brahma Sanghita, it said that living entities are of the same category as the Lord, and they have an eternal kinship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna himself, in the Bhagavad Gita, says, Suridam sarvabhutanam, that I'm the best friend of every living entity. So when Krishna advents in the world, as it's mentioned here, and Balaram, who's appearance day it is today, they are coming for the benefit of everyone. And Krishna, who lives in the spiritual world, this is his divine abode. There are many different choices of places to live and places to go. But the Shastra delineates what they are and what their relative qualities are and value. For instance, Sri Brahma Samhita says, Goloka namni nijadamni tale tatasya devi mahesha haridam suteshu teshu te te pravavan jaya vihitashta yena govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lowest of all is located Devi Dham. Above Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham, abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Dham is Haridam, Vaikuntha, the abode of Lord Hari. And above them all is Sri Goloka Dham. And that is the highest realm where Krishna resides, and from whom everything else emanates in this, everything. I think that's a conclusive statement. Everything else emanates, period. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says that you can go to any of these places as you desire. Yanti deva vrata devam pitrin yanti pritir bhataha Bhutani yanti puteja yanti mam yajitopimam. He says that those who give their attention and worship to the devas can end up in the same realm as the devas. Those who worship lower entities like ghosts and spirits, Prabhupada mentions. Some people during the war found that they were making a lot of money because of Hitler's exploits, so they began to worship Hitler as a deity. And living entities get all kinds of interesting notions in their head and worship accordingly. But the results are not the same. Anyad eva hurasam bhavat, anyad ahurasam bhavat, iti shushumatiranam, yenas tad vijichakshire. Sri Upanishad says one result is obtained by worship of the supreme cause of all causes, and another result is obtained by worshipping that which is not supreme. So all this is clearly explained in the Shastra and by the self-realized and self-controlled sages and by Krishna himself. So when Krishna advents into the world, he gives an opportunity for everyone to see for themselves his personal activities. And Krishna never comes alone. Krishna means Krishna and Krishna's associates. Or sometimes, if we say in a more general way, Krishna and Krishna's energies. Krishna has multifarious energies. Parasha Shaktir Vivadaiva Shuyate means that he can do anything with his potencies, and he does. And so the first way that he expands himself as Krishna, he's Krishna, but he expands himself first into Balaram. It's known as his first expansion. And Balaram, Krishna is blue. True or false? Well, huh? So, something like that. He's a sham color, you said? The color of a dark rain cloud? Bluish, sometimes he's described as bluish in color. And dark like a sham color, like a dark rain cloud. In fact, when Madhavendra Puri would see a dark rain cloud, he would faint in ecstasy because he'd think of Krishna. And then Balaram is what color? Decidedly white. Because when you see Balaram come out from this temple and get into his car, he's noticeably white. So he's a whitish color. And the Shastra says that Krishna and Balaram are the same. But there is a difference. One has a darkish color and the other is white. And once there was a dispute about who's more powerful, Krishna or Balaram. After all, Krishna's elder brother is Balaram, and he's known for his strength. That's why he has the name Balaram. Bala means strength. And this matter, according to Giriraj Maharaj, was brought up before Prabhupada and asked who is stronger. And Prabhupada asked what the devotees thought. And some of them said that Krishna is stronger, and some said that Balaram is stronger. But Prabhupada gave some visual proof, because they were at the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and he said, you can see how Balaram is resting his arm on Krishna's shoulder. And therefore you can see that Krishna is stronger because he's supporting Lord Balaram. That gesture in which we see that Balaram is eternally in repose, leaning on the shoulder of Krishna, is extremely charming. If anyone goes to the Krishna Balaram Mandir and sees Krishna and Balaram, you'll see that one is black and the other is white, and that Balaram is... this is a very kind of a familiar and friendly pose, leaning one's arm on another's shoulder. And this also indicates the relationship that Krishna and Balaram have, that they're brothers, and they are extremely friendly. But there are other relationships that are described in the Shastra. Balaram is extremely protective of Krishna because Krishna is his younger brother. And not only that, and very importantly, and this is a point made very strenuously by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his description of Lord Nityananda Balaram, who is non different from Balaram. And that is that Balaram has an unfathomably deep service attitude towards Krishna. In fact, his entire existence is dedicated to serving Krishna. And in that capacity of service, he, through his unlimited potencies, expands himself in various ways. For instance, as the Sundani potency, he manifests all of the, I hate to use this word, but infrastructure of the spiritual world. Everything there is a manifestation of Lord Balaram's potency, which is the backdrop for Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. And not only that, he's a personal servant of Krishna. He serves him very personally by expanding himself as a seat that Krishna sits on, the bed that he lies on, the Brahman's thread that is around Krishna's torso, his shoes. And these are very intimate ways in which he expands himself in order to serve Krishna. Not only that, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita then gives a progression of how Balaram expands himself into the Chaturvyuha. Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Vasudev Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And this is actually noticeably important in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the longest purports in Prabhupada's books, is there in the chapter describing Lord Nityananda Balaram. And there's a dispute. Some say that actually Balaram is is a jiva. This is a point made in the purport Prabhupada brings out, that there are some who don't understand how Krishna expands himself into a plenary portion. But this is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. Ramadi muti shukalaniya mena tishtanna anavatara makarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samababat paramapumanyo govindamadi purushanta mahambhajami. And also, deeparchar eva hidashantanam abhipetya Brahmadi kita patagavari aschajiva. Is that the right verse? Departure evadi hidashantanam abhupeta dipayate virvita hetu samana dharma yas tadrig eva hicha vishnu chaya vibhati govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Both these verses indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead's capacity to unlimitedly expand himself into equally powerful forms. In fact, the verse that I quoted last says that just as there's an original candle and it can ignite other candles that have the same potency, it can do that, but there is also an original candle. So this describes how Krishna remains the original, but he expands himself into equally powerful forms like Lord Balaram. I guess the essence of the dispute is that God can't expand himself, some say. His energies, he doesn't have energies. He simply becomes everything and loses, or he has no identity. But this is clearly not indicated in the scriptures. The opposite is indicated. Another verse comes to mind. Om Purnam Adah Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. This clearly states that the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself, but he remains complete in and of himself. And the expansions also become complete units in and of themselves. So Balaram then expands himself into Chaturvyuha, and from his unlimited expansions, we get the Purushas, who then manifest the entire material creation. First, there's Mahavishnu, then Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, then Shiradakshayi Vishnu. And all of these are expansions of Krishna through Balaram. Balaram then expands himself into the Chaturvyuha and eventually into all of the Purusha incarnations that then maintain the entire material world. And this is going on practically nonchalantly by the Lord because of his unlimited potency, mentioned also in the Brahma Samhita, in which he says, Yasyaikanishvasitakalamatavalamba pya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata Vishnur mahansa iha yasyakala vishesho govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. And that is with the exhalation of one of these Purushas, that is an expansion of an expansion and an expansion of Lord Balaram, when the Mahapurusha exhales, everyone please exhale, to see if you can manifest a universe. Anything? When he exhales, he manifests the multitude of universes, and then he enters into them. As his next expansion is Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, and then from his perspiration, which fills up half of each of the universe, then he lies upon the ocean there, and then from there, from his navel, sprouts a lotus stem, atop which is born Brahma, and who becomes the secondary creator. And then from there, he expands again into Shiradakshayi Vishnu. And Shiradakshayi Vishnu enters within all the particles, every atom within the heart of every living entity. Ekop yasaura charitum jagaranda kotim yach shakti rasti jagaranda chayayadanta andanta rasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. So this is all facilitation. Balaram is doing this as a service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami notes that all of the incarnations of the Lord, all of his expansions, are imbued with an intense service attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Advaita Acharya, who is also Mahavishnu, has this intense service attitude towards Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda, and this is the point of this chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing Nityananda Balaram, who is non-different from Balaram. And his service, he has a service attitude toward Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the ways that he serves him is as his guru. So we know in the pastime in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when Lord Nityananda comes to meet Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, actually before he arrives, Mahaprabhu has dreams. He's dreaming that he sees a chariot coming with an ensign, with a flag on it that has a palm tree. This is Balaram's insignia. And he's, of course, they're inseparable, but before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests his Sankirtan movement, Lord Nityananda is apparently separated from him by proximity only. But he's Nityananda, as he's on pilgrimage, notices that the deities in the temples have become morose. And then he has a realization that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has started his Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. And he makes a roar, does Lord Nityananda, that's so loud that it's everyone in the universe becomes aware of this sound and is practically startled by his roaring sound. And then Lord Nityananda comes to Navadvip and unites with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, when he first comes, Lord Nityananda hides in the house of Nandanacharya. You can go to his house there in Mayapur. Nandanacharya's house is a place where a lot of pastimes take place, especially hiding pastimes. And so he hides there, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows that he's appeared in Navadvip, and he asks his devotees to go find him. They can't find him, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes them to the house of Nandanacharya and said, here he is. And there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks the devotees to prepare to do a Guru Puja for Lord Nityananda, because he is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Guru. And there is much made of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well, 10th canto, on the appearance of Lord Balaram. We know that Devaki and Vasudev have been imprisoned. You all heard about it, probably, in the Los Angeles Times recently. And there they had one child after another. They had six children that Kamsa mercilessly murdered and took away. And then, of course, Kamsa is waiting for the eighth child of Devaki to be born. And this is the way the Lord works in tricky ways. Kamsa is counting the children and thinking as soon as the eighth child is born to Devaki, because he heard the prophecy early on while he was on the chariot taking his sister Devaki home from her wedding, that the eighth child of your sister will kill you. And he understood this would be a manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's waiting. There was six gone, and here comes number seven. But what happened was that there was apparently a miscarriage, because although Sankarshan, Balaram, appeared within the womb of Devaki as the seventh pregnancy, Krishna arranged through Yogamaya to have him transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And then, in his place, Yogamaya, a daughter, would be born to Devaki. This is really confusing for Kamsa, because after the miscarriage, she's not sure whether that was, whether to count it or to not count it. That's the problem with material life. You can make all kinds of calculations. Like sometimes people think I'm going to get an inheritance from my mother or father, and then they make all kinds of, they go to all kinds of trouble and sacrifice in order to be in a position to receive it. And then when they finally get it, there's some stipulation that prevents them from actually appreciating or enjoying it or getting it at all. Or they get it and they lose it. So Kamsa, being a representative of all materialism, was bewildered by this. And there's an important lesson that Srila Prabhupada gives us, brought to us through the acharyas, about the six children that appeared first in the womb of Devaki. They were originally children of Kalanemi, which would be the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Now, they came from a nice demoniac background, and there was a lot expected of them to uphold the tradition of demoniac dealings with the world. However, these, as they were called, Shadgarbha, and later Shadgarbha Asuras, little demons born in the family of Kalanemi, they began worshiping Lord Brahma, which is not permissible in the way that they were doing it, according to Hiranyakashipu, became very angry and cursed them that they would take birth in the womb of Devaki and they would be killed one after another. By whom? By their current father, because Kalanemi then took birth as Kamsa, as we all know. And therefore, there was this divine dance going on, different transferring of living entities from one place to the other. So there's a lesson behind the Shadgarbhas. They represent the various obstacles to devotional service. What are some of them? There's six, so that gives you a hint. Kama, Krodha, fill in the blanks. Kama, Krodha. That would be a subcategory of maybe Kama, overeating. And by the way, why did it come up? I don't know. Okay. Kama, Krodha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. So there are these various calls, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. Which one am I missing for 50 points? What? Madness. Didn't I say moha? In any case, they're personified in these Shadgarbhas. And the way Srila Prabhupada explains it in his commentary to the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, is that they take birth in the womb of Devaki. And Devaki was living in fear of Kamsa. So he explains, does Srila Prabhupada, that her fear of Kamsa, it represents the devotee's fear of bad association. In fact, it's parallel with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings when he was asked, what is a Vaishnava? He said, asasangatyag, a Vaishnavachara. A Vaishnava is somebody who avoids bad association. And each one of the Shadgarbhas who were killed indicates the elimination of these bad qualities from the heart of the devotee, anartas, that block us from devotional service. And then when Balaram comes as the seventh occupant of the womb of Devaki, he makes a suitable arrangement for the Supreme Personality of God to appear. So this indicates that when one's sinful tendencies begin to diminish, yesham tvanta katam papam jananam punyakarmanam te tvanva mohanir mukta bhajanti mam dridavrata. And one becomes inclined towards devotional service, then the guru appears and gives one an opportunity to arrange his or her life in order to take to devotional service with full enthusiasm. And this is the strength of a guru is Lord Balaram. And there are various kinds of gurus mentioned in the Shastra. For instance, the Varmana Pradakshaka Guru, the Shiksha Guru, and also Diksha Guru. And these gurus, who are manifestations of Balaram, collaborate in ways in which to extricate living entities from the material world. And I saw that happen yesterday, and I was appreciating Lord Balaram's strength. I was standing in front of the main stage near the end of the day, and what's her name who was singing? Karnamrita, yeah. And so she was singing, devotees were dancing. I was standing there, and then there was a couple who were new to the festival. They had just appeared there for the first time. One was African-American, the other was from Spain. They had a long-distance love relationship, but they had she had just flown over from Spain. So there they were walking along the beautiful Venice Strip, an incomparable aesthetic beauty along that strip. And then they came upon the main stage and Lord Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra on their cart. And they were rather dumbstruck. So they were standing there, and one very enthusiastic devotee was there, and I don't see him here today. is an Indian devotee. He came over to them and he immediately encouraged them to go over and get a benediction from Lord Jagannath. And they were hesitant. And I heard the woman say that, what is it, idol worship or something? And they were really holding back. So then this devotee passed them over to me. And I talked to them for about a half an hour and explained from the bottom up the philosophy in as a basic way that I could. And came to the point of explaining why he had asked them to take over, to go over and get a benediction from the Lord. And by the time we had come to the end of the half hour, then this other devotee who was standing by noticed that their countenances had changed and their attitude had changed. So then he grabbed them and said, okay, let's go over. And they were ready. And they went over and they got the helmet on their head. They got some Mahaprasadam. And then they were standing there listening to the chanting. And I could see they had come to a new level of understanding. And my observation was that there's this collaboration. We were standing there as representatives of Lord Balaram to do our duty. And the first devotee was sort of their Vartmana Pradakshaka Guru. And then they got some Shiksha. And then they went over and, I mean, I hesitate to say anything about Diksha in this day and age, but they went over and they got some special benediction directly from the Lord. And they were on their way. I could see it. It was obvious and very visible. And so this strength of Balaram comes in the form of spiritual enthusiasm. And it is something very important that comes up in the Leela of, as I already mentioned, from the 10th canto, that Balaram has to appear, the guru has to appear in order to cultivate the ground, to help us remove the anartas that are inevitably there just because of association with the material world since the time immemorial. And then from that, one can gain spiritual strength through which one can advance in spiritual life. Prayana kale manasachalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranamavesha samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. Krishna says in the eighth canto of the Bhagavad Gita, that's coming out soon from the BBT, eighth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that at the time of death, the yogis, because of yoga balena, spiritual strength, are actually able to focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and raise their prana to the top of the head. And Prabhupada, in his purport, says that every human being has to have this bala, this yoga balena, this strength of yoga. By practicing yoga throughout his or her life, one has to develop this in order to be successful when leaving the world. So this comes from Balaram. And just one last point about the Leela. This comes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He mentions in the various pastimes of Krishna in Vraj, there are ways in which we all know Krishna kills demons. He does it every day. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it's a juncture in the day to stop them from playing so they can take their lunch. Like when they meet Agasura, they would just keep playing without this intervention by some demon killing, then they wouldn't have a punctuation in their day. So the various demons that Krishna kills, also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, represent various anartas that are there within the heart of conditioned souls. And by hearing Krishna katha and going on with the process of Krishna consciousness, especially Shravanam Kirtanam, then Krishna helps us to vanquish these unwanted desires within the heart and attachments. Then he says that Balaram, of course, kills his own demons. You can name two if you like now. Pralambasura, the one who comes in, inserts himself into the daily play of Krishna and his friends, and disguises himself as the one friend that didn't show up that day. He looks just like him, and he comes into the assembly And Krishna notices what's going on. He always notices what's going on. And that's an interesting point. Although someone might think that they're tricky, Krishna's always trickier. And so he arranges a game through which the coward boys will fight with each other, and whoever wins will get to ride on the shoulder of the loser. So Pralambasura heard that Krishna is the supreme powerful, so he didn't want to fight with him, but he fought on the opposite side of Balaram, and he lost, so he put Balaram on his shoulders, and he was supposed to carry him to a certain point in the forest, to a tree. But then he kept going, because he thought he'd just take off with him and steal him. But as he was running away, Balaram noticed that this was going on, and he thought, this is really odd. This coward boy is taking me away. And Balaram became heavier and heavier. And then the demon, not being able to maintain the form he had morphed into, then started to expand himself. The Pralamba means he becomes bigger and bigger. And Balaram then notices, oh, it's a demon. So then, this is where the saying, you say, smack you upside the head. It's where it comes from. He smacked him up, either that or from when Lord Boar smacked Hiranyaka. It's either one of those times. Because he really did kind of smack him upside the head with his hoof. He was a boom, and he was out. So he smacked him upside the head, one smack, with his fist, and he broke his head open. Say, Haribol. Haribol! That's good news. Krishna and Balaram smashed demons. We could put that like all around the city. So Krishna and Balaram also smash our tendencies, for enjoyment in the material world, for licentiousness. There's also Tenakasura. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this, that Krishna, the anartas, the demons that Krishna killed that represent various anartas within the heart, can be overcome by the normal practice of Shravanam Kirtanam, but the ones that are the demons, the anartas that are represented by the demons that Balaram killed, require our participation in cultivating various habits that help us to overcome them. But we get that from the strength of Balaram. So on this day, you can tell I'm concluding now because I'm noticing a lot of activity going on and I'm becoming sensitive, that we can take shelter of Balaram because he's a person. And he's availing himself to everyone in the universe to take his help, to gain spiritual strength in order to overcome the anartas. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandira, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur notes that he categorizes many, many anartas that might arise within the heart of a conditioned soul. And he says that when one does the hard work of overcoming these anartas with the help of spiritual strength, and the heart then becomes a suitable place for the Lord to sit down, it's an altar and it has to be cleansed, then one can hold a festival. When one cleanses one's own heart to that degree, you can invite all your friends and you can have a big feast and they can all come and then celebrate this point at which one has developed this purity of heart enough to enthrone Krishna there and to be able to worship him. Om Tat Sat. Does this mean it's finished, right? At 9:05? Or you told me, is there time for a comment? Okay. So there's a sign-up sheet right behind this pillar, and it is for the 24-hour kirtan. There's a few slots open. Please sign up for it as soon as possible. And also, this is a card. It's in Arabic. And on the other side is a mantra that tells you how to sell a book in Arabic. But actually, you don't even have to know that. You just have to show this to people, and they will buy a book, guaranteed. Otherwise, for every book they don't buy, I will send in the money for you if they don't buy it. I'm so confident about this. And not only that, this card is explaining that coming up in the beginning of September till the end of December, all Arabic books will have a huge increase in book points. So every Arabic that you book that you distribute will gain you 5, 10 times more points than you were getting before. You ready to head for the door and see what you can who you can find? So these cards are available for everybody through a download on the internet, and also the augmented point system is available too. I might add that Chaitanya Charitamrita sets will also have doubled points. It's a bonus round, power play for Canadians. That you get when you distribute a set of Bhagavatams, Chaitanya Charitamrita, anytime from the beginning of September to the end of December. Shri Balaram Jayanti Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Bo, Haribo, Hari bo nitai gora hari bo. Vanchakalpadarvishya kripasanabeva chapatitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.
Natari Armarman. Hey, Natari Armarman.